Blog Talk Radio.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. Queen Elizabeth II has departed Buckingham Palace for the final time today. The Queen's casket is making its way down the mall, followed by King Charles III, his brothers and sister, and his heir, William, the Prince of Wales, and Harry, the Duke of Sussex. Massive crowds have descended on London for both the procession and the Queen's lying in state. Officials say mourners looking to pay their respects face a potentially 10-mile-long line. Mourners will be able to pay their respects to the Queen at Westminster Hall beginning at 5 p.m. local time today through 6:30 a.m. Monday morning. Four people are hurt after a shooting overnight in Milwaukee. Police responded to reports of gunfire and found four victims, including one with critical injuries. Two men and a woman suffered serious but non-fatal injuries, according to police. Inflation is hammering Americans from just about every angle, as seen on the release of the latest Consumer Price Index report. Emily Akaida has more details on ways you can still save.
According to the newest government data, overall consumer prices increased at a faster pace than anticipated, up 8.3% compared to last year.
That's despite recent relief at the gas pump, the national average now $3.70. But the average household is spending $460 more a month than a year ago, though. Electricity is up nearly 16%. Rent rising almost 7%, and groceries hit the hardest at 13.5%. Ukrainian forces are keeping up with a counteroffensive, driving Russian forces out of northeastern towns that have been occupied since early on in the war. Megan Fitzgerald with more.
The Ukrainian counteroffensive pushing forward with no signs of slowing. Leaders are saying they've liberated 150,000 people across more than 2,300 square miles. Ukraine's military running Russian forces out of previously held Ukrainian territories.
Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
Prime members, save on high-quality seafood at Whole Foods Market. Enjoy 20% off sustainable wild-caught fresh coho salmon fillets through September 20th, while supplies last. Shop now, in-store or online. Terms apply.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see mostly clouds in the morning, but turning to partly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures around 70, 71 degrees. Tonight, clouds will hang around. Low temperatures dropping down to about 55. For Thursday, clouds, but they will decrease yet again to partly sunny skies. Highs of around 69, 70. Mostly cloudy skies for Thursday night. Lows back down to about 54. For Friday and running up into the weekend, clouds with light rain showers. High temperatures in the mid-60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
She's a pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, it's great dark and night. She's a pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you want to listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay, we need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad, from the Bronx to your...
Good morning. Welcome, Transformation Talk Radio Network listeners. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx. Welcome to my show, Recovery Recharged, with my illustrious co-host and colleague and friend, Dr. Pat. Hey, Doc, how you doing?
I want to just say I'm so excited. First of all, thank you. I want to welcome a whole new audience here. This is a drive time spot. And, yes. You guys really are used to seeing me at a different time spot. Yep, we're kicking it up at the early morning spot on the West Coast. But on the East Coast, you're probably on your third cup of coffee. Coffee. That's what I want to say. We had a great show today, right? We're having some fun.
Yes, we do. We absolutely do. And, of course, the Pushy Broad is new to this time slot, but that's okay. So wake up, Seattle. Wake up, West Coast. New York, like you said, is kicking into high gear already. And I also want to do a shout-out because September is National Recovery Month. Yeah. I want to say thank you all for all of the wonderful guests that Dr. Pat and I have had on this show for actually coming on 3 years now, yeah. Okay? November will be 3 years. And I want to thank all of the clinicians, all of the treatment centers, all the people in recovery. September is an especially great month for me because September 4th, I celebrated year 37 in recovery. So I am really thrilled and really proud. And because of that, I'm going to give some great things away today. And I've got a special guest that Dr. Pat and I know and love, and it's going to help transform your life and your recovery. So let's talk about that first thing this morning. I have a guest that has been with me a few times and has written a bestseller, and he has come back and done it again, which is no small feat for anybody, but certainly somebody that I love having here. So the name of our show today is the title of his book, which is Three Words I Use to Sell 100,000 Books, and the author's name is Andrew Kapp. So before we introduce Andrew, I just want to give you a little bit of a background on him, and you may have read his first book, which is the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. And I introduced it on the show a few months ago, and it is now past 100,000 copies in sales. Pat, isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And, boy, we are going to bust some non-factual data we have out there because he's going to tell us the real deal.
He absolutely is. So the preface, right after it says three words I used to sell 100,000 books, his title underneath it, which is a mouthful, is a counterintuitive strategy for nonfiction authors who want to sell books by the truckload, yep, become a number one bestseller, and turn casual readers into raving fans. Andrew, that is a mouthful. How are you doing this morning? Tell us a little bit about that.
Good to see you again.
Thank you. So Ellen and Dr. Pat, so glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And you're right, that is a mouthful. And we can even kind of go there because there's a method to the madness in the mouthful of that, because that's the subtitle. And it's funny because even like the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read, that also has a subtitle that I don't even specifically remember. I always have to, like, look at Amazon and read it back. But I bring that because, like, the subtitle is this valuable element of real estate where if you don't read it, that's fine. But for people that do, it's a wonderful opportunity for nonfiction authors in particular to really further explain the value proposition they're offering in hopes of hopefully, you know, reaching the right kinds of people that could actually be helped by their work. So It definitely was a mouthful by design because I wanted to use as much real estate as possible as productively, even if it's not efficiently as possible, just to really explain to people what my goal is through the book. Because three words I used to sell 100,000 books, I mean, well, what does that involve? And notice the end part, turning casual readers into raving fans. There's a key component of that in terms of, you know, serving and looking out for your reader that really contributes to more attention, more sales in ways that people don't really I mean, it sounds on the surface like, yeah, of course that is that way it is, but it actually, in many ways that people don't even think about consciously, it really goes a long way for people.
It absolutely does, and I like the little description underneath because it gives you a quick, it's like the Cliff Notes version of what the book is about, and this is going to catch your eye and absolutely have you pick it up. So I was introduced to your book, the first one. Let's talk about this in a minute because this is where your success lies. So the first book, for those of us that don't know, we want to draw our attention to the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. I was turned on to this book by a dear friend of mine. I have given it to every single one of my recovery coaching clients. I understand that your executive producer, Jessica, has also been turned on to the book because she absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Yes, from having Andrew on, which is fantastic. And I just want to encapsulate a little bit, just give us an overview of the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read, and then we can go into your brand new book.
Yeah. First of all, can I just comment? Killer title.
Thank you.
Right. And we can get into, you know, the... I call it the agony of defeat as you battle your publisher to keep your title. But go ahead. Give us the punchline to this because the title does speak volumes for people like me. We want this information, Andrew.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, you call it the agony of defeat. I bypass the agony by self-publishing.
Thank you.
I call it the mechanics of titling your book. So it's always funny, that perspective. Obviously, it's a very bold title. It's a very bold promise within that title. In fact, in the new book, I don't recommend people say, like, the last. The reason I said the last All Attraction book you'll ever need to read is because I know what it feels like to read book after book after book in that topic. Get excited by the law of attraction, begin using the methods I've learned, start to get results, and then still stop. And the reason I've named this the last law of attraction book you'll ever need to read is one of the main things I cover in the book is, well, what is it that we do that gets in our own way? How do we get around it to the point then where we are actually consistent with the methods? Because I understand in my own personal experience and in the feedback of others that when you're actually consistent without it feeling like work, then you get momentum, then you get results, and then it's not even the book that's teaching you. It's not the law of attraction that's teaching. It's certainly not me that's teaching you. It's your own life experience. And once you've had something through your own life experience, nobody can ever take it away from you. And that's the real idea behind the last law of attraction book you'll ever need to read. I didn't say it's the last one you will need. Maybe that's up to everyone else, but it's the last one you'll ever need to read, because I've worked very hard to make sure it's that final one that shows you how to actually implement this and make it user-friendly and, more importantly, consistent.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, if people are watching the screen, they're also seeing on the screen, over there, three words I used to sell 100,000 books. That's also available for them. So we're going to tackle both of these, aren't we?
Yeah.
We absolutely are.
It's clear. It's funny because I'm doing something a little bold in that regard. These are two different niches. Those three words, just in case people are wondering, it's not law of attraction, even though I view law of attraction as the lens through everything. This is like three words I use to sell 100,000 books. That's like a sales and marketing book directly catering to nonfiction authors who has work that helps others, whereas obviously the other one is really more in the law of attraction space. I don't personally care about, you know, quote-unquote diluting my brand and having the name Andrew Cappy associated with more than one thing.
I don't know
if that's a business-sound decision, but it's just kind of going with my gut.
So we are all three peas in the same pod, albeit a little bit crowded at times. But that's why the three of us are here, because somehow within us, we decided there's something in our gut that's telling us and guiding us. And it may not be popular. And I got to tell you, the whole diluting the brand thing, the minute I decided to do different shows, that's what the feedback I got. And I totally ignored it. But you're talking about following a sense of self, I think, that, Ellen, you and I talk about all the time in recovery. And I do believe that both of these books transcend maybe even popular opinion, because nothing really can trump what we feel intuitively and we know and we see, right? Do you guys agree with me?
Exactly. Look, it comes down to what you feel your calling is. And I think somebody that does what we do and somebody that does what Andrew does, it's almost as if we're compelled to do the next thing, whatever that is, whether it is off-brand or not. Okay, I can't tell you how much flack I got for being the pushy broad from the Bronx. Okay, really. My entire life, being the pushy broad from the Bronx is not exactly a compliment. So what did I do? I embraced it. I not only embraced it, but I trademarked it, okay? So I'm a registered trademark. So legally, I'm the only one in the country that can be called Pushy Broad from the Bronx. And we've expanded so much, right? Even on Transformation Talk Radio Network, with Women Who Push for More, with Everybody Needs a Little Push, with Recovery Recharge, we do what we feel is the next right thing. And because it comes from our heart and our gut, it's automatically the right thing for us and for our listeners. There's no question about it. But the thing I was most impressed about with Andrew is not only did he outline the Law of Attraction book in a way that made it easy to use and not seem like a chore so that you could continuously do it. And I do my gratitude list every single day. I visualize, I script, I do so many things that it says in the book. But it got so much success because Andrew propelled it. And there was something in the beginning of this brand new book, which is three words I used to sell 100,000 books, which was absolutely staggering to me. And Andrew, I want you to focus on this a minute. It says why average just doesn't cut it. And you were talking about what a successful author could publish. Could you give us those figures, please, so people can understand just how amazing 100,000 books.
Let's get into this.
Could you tell us what a best-selling author can expect usually? Give us that.
Well, so it's interesting because, you know, it's me researching the book and, you know, Googling, of course, and hopefully finding reliable articles. And I was shocked because I think we have these preconceived notions of what it means when you sell a book and when you're successful. I was shocked to discover that according to these sources I found, an independent author, at not just the first year, but the entire lifetime of their book, can expect to sell only 200 or 300 to 500 copies. But then you've got, okay, it's like, oh, yeah, that's fair. It's an independent publisher. They don't have backing. I also found out that an author who's backed by one of the big publishers. You know, we're not talking like a David Goggins, who's like a breakout obvious example. We're just talking a standard average author who gets on the major publisher. They'll sell maybe 2,000 or 3,000 to 5,000 copies in the entire book's lifetime. And, you know, when you think about it, you crunch the numbers, you know, you get a percentage of that from the company, then you've got to pay Uncle Sam. That's not a lot of a payday before you have to go back to the drawing board and work another maybe 2 or 3 years, depending on your workflow, on your next idea, hoping that's going to do something. So it was really staggering to me how far off for many people the real success is, and which kind of bowls me over. Like, for me, I still have to, like, you know, pinch myself and remember, like, wow, I can't believe this unicorn of a book sold 100,000 copies. It makes sense when I look at what I did very intentionally, but it still is a staggering number that I try to make sure I acknowledge every day, because I realize that it is not a standard thing, especially for an independent author.
I had no idea that a book, especially a best-selling book, considered to be a best-selling book, may only sell maybe 5,000 copies in a lifetime. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about – and this, by the way, is a really important thing, because words are important. Best-selling – I mean, I'm happy to say if I go on Amazon right now, The Last Love Attraction book, Yard and Sweet, it's still a number one bestseller in one or two categories. But a bestseller, if you launch out of the gate and you get your entire friends and family and your network to buy it that day, and it somehow hits the chart, well, then you call it a bestseller, even if it sells one or two copies the next day and then zero copies every day thereafter.
Right.
So bestseller is a very interesting thing in that it's very easy to achieve if you want to game the system a little bit. It's just hard to maintain if you really want to hold on for dear life in the long term.
Dr. Pat, what's been your experience in this industry? Are you thinking of self-publishing?
Let me tell you what my experience is. I want to tell you a couple of things, and then I want to turn it back over to you both. I work with our hosts because I've been doing this 20 years, and I have seen every pothole in the media industry that you can imagine. And there's a reason I'm an independent network, and there's a reason we're expanding, and there's a reason we take on conversations. There's also a reason which I don't talk about enough. And I had a really interesting, really cool conversation with a gentleman yesterday, a top coach of many athletes, and he's going to join our network. Here's what I've watched. I've watched amazing people. Ellen is one of them. All of the people that join us, they have brilliant ideas. Almost, I'd say 90% want to write a book. And the reason I had to get knowledgeable, and of course, my little snide comment on the title is something I just went through with one of the hosts. But I've watched them go through, and I've watched the pain, the agony, and the ecstasy of going through the publishing route and the self-publishing route. And if you would have been around 10 years ago to help these people, but you're around now, you might have helped them in ways that nobody really understands. One, myth number one, I think publishing is just the same as it was 10 years ago. It is not. Myth number two, I'm not going to ever change my book title. Okay. Yeah, self-published. Right. Okay. Number three, I got a really good book cover and I want to, okay. a race. Not going to happen. So what I'm trying to say is, what I've learned is, we have helped more hosts turn their ideas into books than many. And some of them, Andrew, we did what you talked about. You know, I helped Paul McCormick launch his book in December, which people say is a nightmare. And that book went to a number one chart. But not because of anything smart or intelligent or knowledgeable. I made more mistakes than you can imagine. But I'm excited about you today, because I don't want highly creative people with, like Doc Martin, her book, you know, fabulous messages, to turn around and feel like I am exhausted from this process and I don't even remember my idea. So I'm hoping we can save the soul of the book by this show today.
Mm. Exactly. I mean, there's no question, and that's exactly why I brought Andrew on, because so many of us were faced with so many things, and it was kind of like a godsend, because I've been kicking around my own ideas for a very long time and not knowing how to get towards it for so many different reasons. And then Andrew came along, and I've been reading, and I've been watching and learning, and it's really opened my eyes in a lot of different ways, because it's not a question of people not having content. Okay, I think there are many authors out there that have a lot of content and a lot of things, you know, a lot of people have a lot of things today to say, and self-publishing is something that everybody can enjoy. It's knowing how to get the content out there, and that's why Andrew's book is so crucial for anybody thinking of writing anything and getting it published. So let's go back to Andrew. I need to ask the number one most important question. Why these titles? Why this title? Why the title beforehand? Always a mouthful. Why? Give us the short of it.
So I want to preface this by saying, and I always say this, I'm giving people a way, not the way, because I fully recognize there's more than one way to skin a cat and more than one way to success. But in my own experience, and I've been a marketer and a marketing coach and a copywriter, I have a very unique perspective as opposed to most authors. Most authors write in one way versus me, who writes in that marketing way. I think it's very important when you're a for novels or for fiction, I'm not going to help much in this regard, but when you're talking about like a nonfiction book that helps someone do something, learn something, achieve something, or solve a problem or challenge in their lives, I think it's very important and very powerful and very useful to answer the question within the title itself to the reader of what's in it for me if I read this book. What's in it for me? Because there's so, like, you're competing. I'm an old school wrestling fan. I listen to WWE, and I remember, like, all the top people in WWE, they don't say they're competing with other wrestling companies.
Dr. Pat's raising her hand. She's
like, I'm
telling you, I grew up with a wrestling mom and dad. I mean, we're sitting there telling them what we thought, and you could not turn that channel. So I feel you right there.
And so you probably remember, like, WWF's competition used to be WCW, whereas now WWE, their competition is the NFL, the NBA, MLB, the Kardashians, reality TV, the news. Like, your book isn't just competing with other books in your niche, and not just other books, but video games or info products or TV shows. Like, it's very important to say, I've got to reach out and grab the viewer or the prospective customer, you know, really grab them and say, listen, this is what I'm offering you. And that's why the titles are so long. And by the way, like, notice how I recognize that a long title can be perceived as a weakness. I turn it into a strength in any way that I can strategically. For example, the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. The reason I don't know the subtitle is because I didn't waste valuable real estate on the cover by putting it there.
Yeah.
I didn't even put my name there because no one knows or cares about Andrew Kaplan when that book goes out. Why am I going to waste that real estate? So, again, I'm breaking publishing rules. And the way I envision this, being from New York, I envision, you know, traveling on the subway and seeing people read the book like it's a magazine and it being very easily noticeable, because I know what it's like to be on a subway and see someone reading a book and their thumb is over half the cover. They have the title because the title's so small. I'm like, what's that book? I'm curious. But I'm too shy to ask the person. I wanted my cover strategically to be a thing like you never have to ask a stranger, you never have to feel awkward, like you know what it is, and then you're curious enough, and you look on Amazon, and you find it, and you buy it, and you're set. That's why these long titles. Let people know what's in it for them, make it big on the cover, and really, ideally, connect with the people that actually need the content.
Fantastic. And I hope you guys are listening out there because Andrew just said a tremendous amount of great things there. And also understanding that when I read his book, his first book, it is so self-contained and so nicely done that you don't have to read, if you want to read little tidbits, if you want to go to a chapter here or a chapter there, everything is self-contained so that you really get a full amount of it, even if you want to skim through it, which means you can always go back to it and get a little snippet from here or there, which is enough to keep you going. And that's what made it so wonderful and so easy to continue to read and to use. So It's kind of like my Bible. It's on my desk all the time, and it's literally transformed my life. And the Pushy Broad doesn't say stuff that she doesn't mean. That's why I'm the Pushy Broad.
Thank you so much for that compliment. What you just described there, which I really appreciate, is especially because it was by design. So, think about a TV show, right? They'll have a season of, 20, 24 episodes, whatever it might be. Even though a lot of those TV shows, there's, a recurring story and there's subplots and there's a play, from beginning to end, there's a theme. Each episode is self-contained.
Yep.
Each episode, you can start from the beginning and get to the end of the episode and be entertained or get whatever value. Obviously, for me, it's more about informational than entertainment. But I was very intentional about understanding, to me, this is not a book. It's an experience. It's a song. There's a bridge. There's a chorus. There's an ebb. There's a flow. Because I realize, again, people have a lot on their plate. I come in with the recognition or the assumption that when people are trying to read the book, there's noise on the outside. There's a spouse screaming at them, a boss screaming at them, kids wanting their dinner, all these things. And I want that to be as seamless as possible so that when they're reading it, it's really connecting in a non-cumbersome way. And it just flows and they get the information as easily as possible. So thank you very much for that compliment.
Yeah, you had me at page four. You had me at page four when you said, life is about to get awesome. So you had me at page four right there. And, I have the Kindle. I Kindle everything because I walk around with my thing, my phone, and I want to make sure that I'm looking at it and I'm reading it when I need to read it in addition to the book. But see, just a phrase like that, that phrase, there's so much energy, inner energy, external energy, and energy of hope about what's to come in the book. You could have said anything on that page, but you didn't.
And, Pat, if I could, let me give this is a Dr. Pat Pushy Broad exclusive because you just inspired an idea. I've never expressed this before. So for any author out there, what you just heard here, I would ask you to look for your Jerry Maguire moment as early in your book as possible. Dr. Pat said, you had me on page four. You want your reader to say, you had me within the first five or six pages. Again, I've never said that before, but to any author out there, make your content, and by the way, be so excited because you know your content works. Be so excited about your content that when you convey it, you are going to have your Jerry Maguire moment very early on because it's very important to hook the person in the beginning, not so that they buy your book because they've already bought it, but to hook them because the only way you're going to serve your reader is if they get through the entirety of your book. So it's very important to get them excited enough to begin, but also comfortable enough and entertained enough and informed enough and excited enough to continue through to the end.
Yeah. And that's what you've done. Basically, with the first title and the second title of the book, it's right there, and you talk about all of that in your book, why the cover itself is so important, everything that you say on the cover, how you choose the font, how you choose the colors, how you choose the actual title itself, and how you get readers hooked from the very beginning, which is why this book also becomes a Bible for any author beginning in a new way.
Yeah.
So we've got a little note. Did you see the note, Dr. Pat?
Yeah, Benny. Benny sent us a note.
Benny sent us a note about that it started as the WWF and then changed to WWE. So all of you fight fans out there, We've got it right. Okay, we've got it absolutely right. We're going to
take... Ellen, you know what I love? Okay, so I hope we talk about this when we come back, because this is in Andrew's three words. I get to ask the question that he gets asked. And right out of the gate, and I love the idea of chapters that are questions. I love it. That's how you get my attention. But he gets asked a very significant question. And I want to talk about that question when we get back. And there are two questions. One, there are people that ask him questions as if what he did was impossible. And then there is the opening chapter. And even though, Andrew, I think you said that these are two different books and two different brands, let me just say this. The energy of the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever write is in three words. Mm-hmm. It's in this book. And it may not be called out exactly, but it's in here. It's in here by the questions you ask. It's in here by the way you've been challenged. It's in here by the way you've responded. And it's in here by the way you want to help people with this. So that's just what I want to say. And I just want to just say this other thing. It's very clear to me that when my mama said to me, bless her, bless this woman, she said the equivalent of this. Girls, when you grow up, here's what you want to do. You want to play to win? Just make sure you're not playing not to lose. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you're not in the, I'm in the game not to lose. She said, because that is not the energy of an amazing life. That's my two cents right there.
That's exactly right. So stay with us. Come back. Andrew's giving a giveaway away. I'm going to give away a giveaway for the recovery month. Stay tuned. Stay with us. We'll be back.
From the pushy bra, from the Bronx to York, that's it, that's it at home.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts on Transformation Talk Radio.
In body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul-Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a Humble Awakening of the Heart. Join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Emotional Elevation with me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's D-E-N-E-E.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent network have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York, that said I had been at home.
Welcome back, Transformation Talk Radio listeners. I'm Ellen Stewart. I'm the pushy broad from the Bronx. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Pat. We're talking to Andrew Kapp about his book, Three Words. I used to sell 100,000 books, an unbelievable accomplishment for the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. So since you've stayed with us for the first half hour, and we're in a new time slot, and this is Recovery Month, I want to be able to extend to everybody out there to go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and make an appointment for a complimentary session for Recovery Month. So please call my 800-889-1757 number. Everybody that calls me this month gets a free complimentary session, especially you Drive Time listeners for coming to see us today. At the end of our program, Andrew will give away something called his ultimate money or ultimate abundance meditation method. And yes, I can't wait to hear it all. So,
and it'll be a guided meditation, so it'll be a lot of fun.
There we go. So we've got two free things for this new time slot and for the beginning of this kind of end of summer, beginning of September season. So let's get back to Andrew. So there is something here that I want to talk about, because I know everybody is always concerned with how the book is reviewed and what five-star reviews are about. And so talk to us about why chasing five-star reviews is the worst way to get people to buy your book. Tell us about that.
So I'm going to say that it's going to be kind of like a roundabout way, but when people kind of hear the way I describe it, I think all the dots are going to be connected. I'll say this. A lot of times we celebrate reviews when we should be celebrating reviewers, because it's about the reader. It really is. And the reason I say that is Amazon doesn't have this functionality anymore. And by the way, the reason they don't have this functionality anymore is because it wasn't getting used enough. That's what they told me. But back, you know, when I first launched the Last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read, and someone would post a five-star review, whereas, you know, not to put myself on a pedestal, but where most authors would like, hey, honey, come over, look at this, and they'd bask in it, and then they'd move on, and they'd just stare at the screen waiting for the next review to come in. I would actually comment and reply to that person individually and thank them and, like, address something. Like, if they said something about, like, Chapter 4, I'm like, hey, interesting story about Chapter 4. Here's why I did X, Y, and Z. Or, hey, I know she mentioned this thing. You might want to check out that thing. In other words, I really tried, not to look useful, but to be useful. I tried to honor that review. And really, this is about kind of, like, putting your readers first in any way, shape, or form that you can. Because, again, all right, Amazon doesn't have that functionality anymore. Okay, well, what can I do to help the readers? Well, you can be like Andrew, and you can start a YouTube channel, and for the first 100 videos, you can make sure to spotlight five-star reviews and read them out and thank the person. Or you could have, you know, free bonuses in your book that people opt into, and when they opt in, rather than spamming them with sales messages, you just keep giving them value on top of value on top of value, all different cool stuff. In other words, you go above and beyond in delivering for them. And it's not about chasing reviews. It's about inviting reviews. It's about being an open invitation to saying, listen, I'm going to, like, serve these person so well that they're almost going to feel silly not leaving a review. And I had a review someone left, I think it was April 21st. It was definitely in April on Amazon, where they said, listen, I never leave reviews, but I'm making an exception for Andrew because using his book – I, you know, went from being out of business to making millions a month again, which, by the way, like, what a crazy, I'm saying that so nonchalantly, but what a crazy thing. But the point is, whether they're making millions a month or they solved a relationship issue or something else, they said the words, like, I never write reviews, but I'm doing it for Andrew. When you set out to serve your reader and to really over-deliver for them in any which way that you can think of, you're inviting reviews, you're leaving the gateway open, because who wouldn't want to post a five-star review when you change their life for the better? Or, more accurately, you were the facilitating factor, because we both know that everyone really changes their lives on their own. Mm-hmm. But if you could be that facilitating piece in a really positive way, they're going to really be excited about leaving your review rather than you chasing after and just watching the screen hoping it's going to come out of thin air.
Yeah. I tell you the other thing I love is that, and I get really dinged a bit for this. People know me and they see the network and they have a view of me. But I really am, and our network is called the New Mainstream in Media. And what that means is we don't only live in the holistic world or, you know, this world that, you know, most people see. We also live in the pop culture world. And, you know, I got asked to review a book not too long ago, and I went back to the author and the publisher, and I said, I don't even know who these quotes are, who these people are that you're quoting. Now, I got to, I don't know what page in your book. Hello, you're quoting Morpheus telling Neo, I can only show you the door. I'm all over that because I'm not writing to a 1% audience that maybe somewhere along the line heard Gene Houston, Dr. Gene Houston, who I love, talk about five people that are hardly even known today. You're writing a book that most people want to and have to relate to. And publisher was super offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, why did you send me the book to review? And I said, by the way, the quote, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail, which is what I use on my show, that didn't come from Rich Dad Poor. That came from Eleanor Roosevelt. So put
That's
the right person in the quote. Sorry,
That's
I
right.
went off right there.
No, it's okay. Listen,
at a moment. At a moment, Andrew.
And just in that, and just in that very little tangent, I can tell you how many people are thinking about what this week was and the passing of a monarch who spent 96 years in power, and how people that are in younger generations just barely just let it go. But for us, it was absolutely monumental. I mean, just totally and completely monumental.
But you know what we remember about that? Okay, even if you don't know the Queen, you know the Queen was in a James Bond movie.
Okay.
You know, like, if you don't even know, like, who the Queen is, you like, watching Daniel Craig
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Tell you about that woman. And that's what I'm saying about your book. Even though we don't may not know your name, even though your name's not on there, there's so much in here that gives us a little sneak peek behind the curtain.
Yes.
And
exactly.
Your willingness to share this, people need this information. It is too painful to watch people step in the potholes.
This is no question.
I agree. I totally agree.
One of the things that Andrew does so well is be so attentive to the people that want to get the information from him. There is no question. And you said some really great things about how you service people, how you answer every single one of their reviews, which is a wonderful thing. And there are also things that you do, not only in that regard, but there are things that I want you to talk to us about. First of all of the bonuses from the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. You gave so many bonuses that the end. And by the way, the reason that Andrew and I even got together was because I asked him a question. I asked him a random question. I said, you know, maybe somebody on his staff will get back to me, or he'll get back to me in a year. He answered me right away and then immediately agreed to do my shows, which is absolutely amazing. And the fact that he was right there for me really was outstanding. So that's the reason that Andrew and I got together. But I'd like you to talk, Andrew, about the bonuses that you have at the end of both books, and I also really want you to give some thought into how you are continuing to promote this with your email list and the radio shows and podcasts. So let's talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, so I'm being very clear in my intentions for my audience. I want, like, for anyone listening or even reading, like, I want to incentivize you to the best of my ability to opt into my mailing list, not so that I can spam you. I mean, you know, I've one thing I sell after last fall, Traction Book Guarantee, but it's not so I can spam you, but it's basically so that I can give more value and that I have an opportunity when something's new to share, because I recognize that if I treat you like gold, you're going to be a lot more comfortable and a lot more confident recommending me and my book to others, because you understand that I'll treat them like gold also. So the bonuses are about, well, they're about a couple things. One, they're about maybe covering something that I just can't put in the confines of a book. For example, three words I use to sell 100,000 books, one of my bonuses is a 27-minute video where I break down my cover design decisions and I show drafts and I explain human psychology behind it and why I went with this and why I didn't do that. It's like I can't put that in a book. Even if I put all the images, which will bring the printing costs up, which will bring up the price to the reader, they're going to flip back and forth, so it's going to be a cumbersome experience. These bonuses that I come up with, it's about accentuating what they already came there for. All right, you came there for Law of Attraction. Let me serve you an even higher level of Law of Attraction. Oh, you came here to sell more books? Let me serve you an even higher level of all the things I covered for free, by the way. You don't have to spend extra money. So it's all about incentivizing them in that way, because, again, it's about separating myself from the pack. Because, Ellen, you even said, like, how I got back to you right away. I got back to you, well, one, because, and this is something I actually got to work on within myself, I almost feel physical pain if my reader's having an issue. I want to make sure that they're taken care of. Not that you came to me with pain, but that's
just
my
answer. I totally get that.
You totally get that, right, Dr. Pat?
But, I feel the same way about our hosts and our audience. I totally get that. So,
and you probably you never heard that before, right? But you, like, it clicks right away. Like, you feel pain when that person's not being taken care of. And I recognize that there is a stigma, whether it's true or not. There is a stigma about authors that they are too busy or too good to get back to you. And maybe it's because that author just has a crazy life and they don't have time. But I like to fly in the face of that stigma, and I structured my day around it, even though it is a little rough on my bandwidth, to be that author that does reply to people, because that instantly separates me from the pack, which separates my book from the pack, which separates my content from the pack, which means my reader will focus more on my content, which, since I know it works, will get them more results. So everybody is winning. I'm winning. The book is winning. The person's winning because they're more enthusiastic about the content, and the content works. Then they recommend it, that person wins. It's like this endless upward stream of positivity and success because I'm making these decisions to incentivize people through bonuses or reply back to emails or do anything that I can do above and beyond, so long as it's not sacrificing my physical or my mental or emotional health in the process.
Yeah. I mean, I want to get to something, and Ellen, let's piggyback off this. When I read the three, when I reread the three words, one of the things I almost forgot was, and I think it's some, I don't know where it is in the book, but there's something that you say that is so important and so taps in to the Law of Attraction book. And I think you say something like, so, okay, knowing the words, we're going to get you so far. They're going to get you only so far. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't be surprised if you find the three words themselves a bit underwhelming. And then you give us the good news, because you go on to tell us, and this is my word, this is me, they're not just words. They're multidimensional potential actions and ways of being, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Just like you shared about being there for the people that read your book. And I love that. I love that you're telling us, yes, they're words, but wow, there's so much more. You know, it's like my friend Matt James used to say, whatever you think it is, it's way more than that. That's my
take. I think you're very astute, Pat. That's a wonderful way to put it, and really, really, really very, very right on, very spot on. There is so much depth to this book and what Andrew says, and the three words are not simple at all, because if it were simple, everybody would be selling 100,000 books. And this is the biggest difference between them. So let's share some things. Andrew, you mentioned to me that you would be happy to share the number one law of success that you learned from a legendary multimillionaire marketer. So would you share that with us, please?
Come on, bring it on.
Your every word now. Okay,
bring it.
It's funny because, like, this is closer towards the end of the book, so I kind of, like, kind of cap off the book with this part. Well, near the end. I mean, then obviously then there's all the bonuses and the tie-up. But so one thing I was inspired by, Dan Kennedy, who anyone, like, in marketing knows that name. He's a very well-known marketer. And I remember I'd read so much from him, I don't even know where I found this specifically. I have a hunch of the book I read it in. But he mentioned how after he had made it, so to speak, and he was a multimillionaire and he had all these things going on, he made a point of always doing at least one thing in his business. And I thought to myself, well, if that guy, you know, multimillionaire is going to do that, well, what's stopping me, like, as I'm beginning my journey with the Last Law of Attraction book, everything to read, you know what? I'm going to do one thing every single day in service to my book and the message. Now, this can be a big thing or a small thing. I just have to make sure they do something every single day. I could be answering an email. I could be doing an interview. I could be recording and editing a YouTube video. It doesn't matter. But the one lesson I learned from him is do something every day, because that level of consistency, that ensures that you're always on top of it. And although Dan Kennedy did not articulate this, I would say this. If you are not able to do something big or small every single day, that's a very clear, important message to yourself that you are not engaged in your content or your message probably as much as you could or should be in order to serve your audience. And it might be something where you want to find something that you're excited enough about and enthusiastic enough about where, big or small, you can really genuinely do something every single day without it feeling like some tedious thing that you have to get through versus just something like, this is who I am, just the way you brush your teeth every day, just the way, you know, you comb your hair every day. You do something in service to your business and to your book, to your message every single day.
And this is the same thing that you teach in the Last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read. If it's work, then you're not going to do it. And if it's comfortable and it's easy, you begin to do it every single day. So it is as habit forming as brushing your teeth or getting into the shower on a daily basis. That's what makes it so special. The thing that you say about it cannot feel like work is the most important reason why we continue to do what we do, right?
Yeah, and you know, being honest, I mean, some days it's going to feel like work because some days you're going to be tired or some days you're going to be in a bad mood. Like, things are going to happen. But on an overall standpoint, it should still be something that's filling you up. It should be still be something that you are excited about. Like, you know, writing both of these books, so here's an interesting thing. The Last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read, it took me 9.5 weeks to write 208 pages or whittle down to 208 pages. Three words I used to sell 100,000 books, it took me months because I had so much going on in my life. I would write a chapter, I'd pour myself into it, and then I'd be exhausted, and I would take 2 or 3 weeks off before doing it again. I didn't take two or three weeks off from my work of doing something for my business, but for that book I spread it out because I understood that if I forced myself through the process, then the chapters would be a mess, and they wouldn't have the level of clarity or energy that I needed them to have in order to seamlessly link into one another. Like, one thing that I was so pleasantly surprised is after I finished that book and I read it through for the first time, how one chapter blended so seamlessly into the next, even though I would write them weeks or months apart. So it all comes down to it can't be like this grueling thing where you hate it every day. It's got to be something where, no, I'm glad I'm doing this. I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning. Thank you. Because I do not think this man gets mentioned enough, Mr. Kennedy. I don't think he gets mentioned enough because, you know, I don't know how I got hooked onto him and his messages, but I never forgot one thing. And I think this is an underpinning because I think this is what you busted through with these books. There's one thing he says, and I think I've got the quote exactly right. It's fear about money. Right? He says, fear about money, inhibit your wealth and attraction power. Right out of the gate. He said, absent of fears about money, releases your full wealth attraction power. And, you know, and when you think about what we've just all been talking about right here, underneath this thing for a lot of people and the idea of I got to sell, is to an end game about money. Now, it may not be about the book. It may be, I got to make money. I got to do my coaching. But you see, and I love that quote by him because in your book, well, actually in both, in your book, you really are teaching us the power of the options and fears about money releasing our full wealth attraction power. See, that's what you're teaching us. Because we don't want to talk about money, but I'm telling you, people that write a book, okay, maybe you're J.K. Rowling. Not likely. The book is not the end game, right? For a lot of people.
Right, that's absolutely right. And I think what it says about the three of us here, it's the altruistic way in which we approach things. Because the last thing that I know I think about is the money, because I wouldn't be in the recovery field if I was thinking about the money, and neither would you, Dr. Pat. We are serving a higher purpose, and I think that's exactly what Andrew is doing as well. However, everybody else out there is always concerned about money, so I think this is a great time to introduce, towards the end of our show here, Andrew's giveaway bonus. So talk to us, Andrew, about how we get to it. Let's put it up on the screen. Let's find it and tell us all about your bonus.
So this is actually the only money method that I teach in my book specifically, just because it's so powerful. Now, it's a meditation. So you read my book and you're reading through the steps. And I've always had this recognition that, like, yeah, that's great, memorize the steps. But if you have to think about the steps of what you're doing to meditate while doing it, you're not really meditating, which is why if people didn't get the audio book, I still want them to have an option that they can just click play, listen, sit back, and follow through without having to memorize the instructions. So I call this the ultimate abundance money meditation, where, quick little preview, I kind of like put people on the ocean of abundance, and I walk them through a nice, calm, easy 5-minute meditation that helps them focus and release those fears that they may be holding on to about money or just feel better about it in general. And again, it's free, so you don't have to pay for it. You don't even have to opt into it. So like the link that you can go to is ultimateabundancemeditation.com, and that goes straight to the page where you can stream it or even download it. So, you know, there's no opt-in, there's no money or anything. It's really just my gift to people in hopes that they'll enjoy it and in hopes that it becomes a regular and fun part of their schedule that they look forward to.
And we're providing this today exclusive to all of the listeners on Transformation Talk Radio Network, because we really want you to succeed. We really do believe in both of these books. So pick up at least one of these books and take a look at Andrew's fantastic work, because we can all benefit from it, and I am continuing to benefit from it every single day. What do you think, Dr. Pat?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, part of this, what Andrew does is he really answers all the objections in the book, especially about why does the law of attraction work for some and not for others. You know, this is what I love about this. You know, these may look like two separate books, and maybe on the surface they are, but it's all about what that quote is about getting ready for an amazing life. And Andrew, thank you for opening up the door and making, first of all, a book that's very readable. Two, when I got to the part in the book about the three words, I knew what we were doing and how we're about it is we are totally on track, right? But to see it in writing in your book and to understand it, it moves all the naysayers out of the way, because there's nothing more powerful for us than to be in service of you and our audience. And that has always been our goal, right, Ellen? Just
absolutely.
Like recovery.
There's no question, and that's why we're doing this show, and that's why we're here, because we really truly believe that we try and make a difference, and if there's one person out there that can listen to something and see it differently and move in a different way, then we've done our job, and that's the reason why we're here. There's no question. So just to sum it up really, really quick, Andrew's bonus is UltimateAbundanceMeditation.com. Please go. Please pick up his books, either the last Law of Attraction book you'll ever need to read or Three Words. I used to sell 100,000 books. Go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, 800-9-1757. Get a free coaching session with me for the recovery month of September. Dr. Pat, as always, this is wonderful. I love this drive time station and this time, and I love being a part of Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you all for tuning us and turning us on. Andrew, thank you for sharing your heart and your soul and to helping people not slip in the potholes that many of us have slipped in.
Thank you both so much for having me. I'm so grateful. conversation. I really appreciate you.
This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening. And remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the Pushy Broad from the Bronx to New York, God said I had made it at home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday morning to you. Benny Nazar's here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the South. Well, we still have that collision on State Route 112 West. Outpost 1.5 at Bullman Creek. Westbound lanes are blocked. Also on State Route 532 eastbound at Smith Road. Also coming to another collision, partially blocking the lane there. State Patrol has been dispatching the team to take care of that collision. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's your home, your wealth. And it's all about reverse mortgages, followed by Team Donico.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. Queen Elizabeth is now lying in state at Westminster Hall after a procession from Buckingham Palace. The service is being held in her honor with members of the royal family in attendance, including King Charles. Massive crowds have already descended on London for both the procession and the Queen's lying in state. Officials say mourners looking to pay their respects face a potentially 10-mile-long line. The Queen's funeral is set for Monday. Before the procession, President Biden spoke to King Charles, and the call he offered his condolences on the passing of the King's mother. He recalled her kindness and hospitality when she hosted the President and First Lady last June. Inflation is hammering Americans from just about every angle, as seen on the release of the latest Consumer Price Index report. That's despite recent relief at the gas pump. National average is now $3.70, but the average household is spending $460 more a month than a year ago. Two people are dead, seven others are wounded following a mass shooting in Chicago's Washington Park. Police say the gunfire erupted last night.
Investigation revealed that there was two groups in Washington Park, some type of personal altercation between the two groups. Multiple shots were fired at that time.
Two people died at the hospital after being shot. Seven other victims were hospitalized with gunshot wounds. Four people are hurt after a mass shooting overnight in Milwaukee. Police responded to reports of gunfire and found four victims, including one with critical injuries. Two men and a woman suffered serious but non-fatal injuries, according to police. They're investigating. They haven't announced any arrests. More and more Americans are losing sleep due to concerns about the state of the world. A national survey of more than 2,000 participants finds changes over the past few years are keeping Americans awake at night. Nearly one in five respondents say they struggle to fall asleep because they're too worried about everything happening around them. Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
A better life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Soft tissue injuries are the most common type of injury in people who are physically active. We're talking about things like hamstring strains, tennis elbow, ankle sprains. They can be caused by something traumatic, like rolling your ankle when stepping off a curb, or repetitive, when you utilize a certain tissue the same way too many times. Experts we talked to said to prevent repetitive injuries, a measured approach is key. That means working out consistently, not being sedentary 5 days a week, and then going all in as a weekend warrior on Saturdays and Sundays. Also, give your body time to acclimate to a new activity. Gradually increase your workout volume and intensity over time. Finally, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons does endorse cross-training. What that means is you switch up your workouts so that you're not doing the same thing every single day. I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, helping you live a better life.
Take a moment and rate your lifestyle on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is a life that's nothing like the life you were promised after getting good grades, a college degree, and a good job in corporate America. 10 is the life of your dreams. If you answered anything less than a 10, tune into the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del, self-made millionaire and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, will show you how to live the life of your dreams and pay for it with passive income.
Join Del at his new time, Mondays 10 a.m. to noon, and Fridays 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., right here on KKNW. And let's go ahead and take a look now at your Alternative Talk weather. Outlook for Wednesday, well, we'll see mostly clouds in the morning, but turning to partly sunny skies by this afternoon. High temperatures around 70, 71 degrees. Tonight, clouds will hang around, low temperatures dropping down to about 55. For Thursday, clouds, but they will decrease yet again to partly sunny skies. Highs around 69-70. Mostly cloudy skies for Thursday night. Lows back down to about 54. For Friday and running up into the weekend, clouds with light rain showers. High temperatures in the mid-60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers.
And welcome to this edition of Your Home, Your Wealth. I'm Eric Kremer. Welcome to this program. I have in studio with me Mr. Mike Broderick. Mike, how are you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
I love to say, good, I'm glad. I love to say that when we talk about reverse mortgages, we're really talking about using the power of your home for the life that you want. And there's a lot of equity in homes, particularly around here over the last few years. And that equity has power.
Very true. It represents a lot of potential cash that you can acquire.
And you just need to know how.
Exactly. And so a reverse mortgage is unique. Everyone's heard about them. We're here to talk about how to utilize a reverse mortgage in the best way possible for you.
I agree. I'm hearing more and more people talk about reverse mortgages, but I think there's still a lot of myths. And I think there's some trepidation on the part of consumers, thinking that this is a newer product, it's not going to be right for me. The thing I like about you, Mike, and you've always been this way for the years that I've known you, is you're a straight shooter. So basically, you listen to what that consumer has to say, and then you guide them. Is it right for them? Sometimes it's not, right?
Correct. And we'll find that out through discovery. So when I meet with the customer, we usually talk about what their goals are, particularly what their financial goals are and what their financial situation is right now and how we can improve that. So with a reverse mortgage, we utilize a person's equity that has built up in their home, allow them to have a line of credit which they can use down the road, or even set up a monthly check option for them and even pull out some cash immediately. So the reverse mortgage is used primarily by customers who want to stay in their home. And they're looking for ways to do that. They may have a home equity line of credit already, but that home equity line of credit through the bank or the credit union requires a monthly payment. A reverse mortgage does not require a monthly payment. That's the beauty of it. So with a reverse mortgage, you can pay off your existing mortgage if you have one. You can pay off your existing line of credit, transfer that to a refinance into the reverse mortgage loan, which does not require a monthly principal and interest payment. Of course, we always have to say you do have to pay your property taxes, homeowners insurance, HOA dues, and other property charges, which you may be doing already. But it will free up that principal and interest. It will give you a line of credit that you can utilize throughout the life of the contract. The line of credit has one unique feature which most home equity lines of credit does not have. The reverse mortgage has a growth rate attached to the unused line of credit, in which that line of credit balance, which is available to borrow, will increase over the years, regardless of what your home value is. So unlike a home equity line of credit, which could go up or down and disappear if your home value goes down, that does not occur with this line of credit utilized through the reverse mortgage. During the recession, I saw even my own home equity line of credit go down in value because the home value went down as well. But this line of credit through the reverse mortgage is not tied to the home value. It is tied to another rate. So it's also tied to your interest rate. So it's an adjustable growth rate, which could go up or down with the interest rate, but I'll emphasize again, it's not tied to your home value.
Got it.
And you won't lose it, unlike you would with a home equity line of credit.
Got it. Now, you work with HomeBridge, correct?
Correct, HomeBridge Financial Services.
HomeBridge Financial Services, and we've had some interaction with some things we've done with the website. It seems like a great team.
Yes, exactly. The thing I like about HomeBridge is that they have a dedicated marketing department exclusively for reverse mortgages. They offer a lot of products that we can utilize. One of the things we're doing is this program as well. They're very keen on advertising the reverse mortgages and getting information out about reverse mortgages. So essentially, all we're doing, if a customer calls me, all we're doing is just explaining the reverse mortgage, the pros and cons, the advantages and disadvantages. There's not an emphasis to sell this loan. The first step in deciding whether a reverse mortgage is good for you or not is to explore the advantages and disadvantages of a reverse mortgage, and oftentimes overcome misconceptions that have developed over the years. One of the biggest misconceptions I run into all the time is when a customer asks me, who owns the home if I get a reverse mortgage?
Right.
The answer is you do, not the bank. A lot of people assume that the lender then becomes the owner of the home. But that is not the case, and it's never been the case either, so I don't know how that myth developed. So this is a mortgage, which must be paid back at a later date. The lien holder, the lender, is a lien holder. The owner is the borrower. So you will appear as the owner on the title and on the documents. And when the time comes to pay back the loan, either when you sell the home or upon the death of the last borrower, then your estate takes care of your property. The home does not go to the bank. I emphasize that again. The estate will have the responsibility to pay off the reverse mortgage debt, as well as all your other debts that the estate will do too. So oftentimes when I am talking to customers and that question comes up and we answer it, I can just see a great relief. I can see him just saying, oh, okay, then now I don't feel as bad about a reverse mortgage as I did, because nobody wants to give up their home to the bank, and particularly when there's a lot of equity left in it too.
Well, it seems like they kind of work together. So you can receive this money on a regular basis, I would imagine monthly.
Right.
Right. But at the same time, provided, you know, history sort of repeats itself, your equity in your home could be advancing as well. So you're not giving up your home. You could maybe in the future take advantage of that future equity as a way to juxtapose the fact that you've done this reverse mortgage. I like that. It almost gives you an opportunity to recoup, if you will, some of the money you've taken.
What happens on a reverse mortgage is it is a mortgage. It is treated just like a forward mortgage, except it has some unique features in it, one being you don't have to make a monthly mortgage. I've refinanced a number of my customers over the years, too, as their home values go up. So if a person utilizes all the money that they have in their first reverse mortgage and they want to try to refinance, we can look at that, too, because as the home value goes up, so does the loan amount generally. Okay, we're talking in general programs here because oftentimes a reverse mortgage changes programs as well.
Mm-hmm.
We must remember also that there's two types of reverse mortgages. The predominantly used reverse mortgage is the FHA HECM mortgage. So 90-95% of our customers utilize the FHA reverse mortgage, which is also called HECM, H-E-C-M,
okay,
which stands for Home Equity Conversion Mortgage. But in some instances where we have a high-value home, meaning maybe one like 1.2, 1.3 million or above, there is a proprietary reverse mortgage, which we also call a jumbo reverse mortgage,
okay,
which we can look at as well, because oftentimes the jumbo reverse mortgage will lend more money to a borrower than the HECM. The HECM is kind of, at this point, we utilize the home value up to $970,800. So if I got a customer that has a $2 million home, they probably are going to go for the jumbo loan because they can get a larger loan amount with the jumbo than they could with the HECM.
Got it. So obviously conversation is key here. I think people need to reach out to you. My problem is I notice working with financial institutions or even my own mortgage company, I hate the phone tree. I mean, you know, you just get into that phone tree, and by the time you finally get a hold of somebody, if they're in this country, you don't even know, you've forgotten what you're going to even ask. You're different, though, right?
Right. I often get into that situation, too. I'm on the phone forever clicking number one, number two, if you want this and that. So what I've tried to do throughout the life of my existence as a reverse mortgage loan officer is to make myself available to the customer right away. So I have a telephone number. It's my cell phone number. My cell phone is with me all the time. You can contact me by calling that number, and I will usually answer the phone. If I don't answer the phone, that's because I'm busy doing something else, but leave a message, and I'll get right back to you. I don't make you go through a phone tree, yeah, which is really frustrating, too. And there are, and I'm not saying anything against, you know, the call centers. They do a great job.
Yes.
But for me, you can contact me immediately, and I'll pick up the phone and say, hi, Mike. And, hi, this is Mike. Can I help you? So if you have one question or if you have multiple questions, just give me a call and we'll talk about the reverse mortgages and how I could help you.
Well, I have your information right here. Your cell number is 425-698-9889. Again, that's 425-698-9889. How about email? I've got your email here. Can they email you too?
Yes, definitely. That would be another method of getting a hold of me, and that is my name, Mike.Broderick, B-R-O-D-E-R-I-C-K, at homebridge.com. So homebridge is one word.
Homebridge.com. Got it. Perfect. Well, we'll give that information out again here. We're coming up on a break here in just a couple of minutes, but I'm curious, how long have you been working with reverse mortgages in your own career?
Geez, it's going on, what, 26 years just doing reverse mortgages?
Wow.
Now, I've seen a lot of changes in reverses, and I'll say this one thing. Early on in my career, reverse mortgages were quite easy to do. They are not anymore. It takes a lot of time to get a reverse mortgage. And also, FHA and the jumbo reverse mortgage lenders are very conscious of making sure the customer understands exactly what they're getting into when they get a reverse, because it is unique. And nobody has usually done a reverse mortgage before unless you're refinancing. So I'll take a lot of time explaining this program to you before we'll even consider doing an application, okay?
Well, and I'll vouch for you here. You are exactly as you sound on the radio. You're very approachable, super knowledgeable. You speak to language that I understand, which I really appreciate. You take the time to help me understand what you're exactly talking about. So I appreciate that, and I'm sure the same for your clients. I'm sure they feel the same way. I bet you get a lot of referrals.
I do, and I get a lot of people saying, Mike, you made the process a lot more easy than
Perfect.
I thought it would be.
And that's the finest compliment right there,
right.
Helping people. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to learn more about reverse mortgages at this point, just go ahead and call Mike on his cell phone, 425-698-9889. That's 425-698-9889. He says you can also email him, and that might be good if you have just a ton of questions. That would be Mike.Broderick, B-R-O-D-E-R-I-C-K, at Homebridge, altogether, homebridge.com. He's a great guy, and I think you'll appreciate all the information he'll give you, and, of course, there's no obligation. So definitely reach out. I'll tell you what, we'll be back with more, the second half of Your Home, Your Wealth, reverse mortgages, using the power of your home for the life you want, right after this message.
Got questions about reverse mortgages, and Mike Broderick has answers.
So a reverse mortgage is often misunderstood by a lot of people. Some people get their information by talking to friends and neighbors who have a limited experience with reverse mortgages too. So I always recommend giving a call, and we'll talk about it. I've been doing them for 26 years. I should be able to handle all the questions that you throw at me. They are an ever-changing mortgage. There's no need to make a commitment to get a reverse mortgage.
Find out if a reverse mortgage from Homebridge is right for your retirement goals. Call Mike Broderick directly at 425-698-9889. That's 425-698-9889. Mike Broderick, NMLS number 696780, is a reverse mortgage loan originator with Homebridge Financial Services. NMLS number 6521, an equal opportunity lender. Washington Consumer Loan Company license, CL6521. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, Welcome back to Your Home, Your Wealth, right here on Kixie 880. Appreciate your listenership. You know, we're talking about reverse mortgages and using the power of your home to get you the life you want. You've earned it, particularly if you've been in that home a long time. All those years of making sure the roof's okay, the gutters are okay, the landscape looks good, plumbing's all up to plumb, and the million other things that goes with home ownership. Well, maybe it's time for you to now have that home go to work for you. I have in studio with me Mike Broderick. He's with HomeBridge Financial. Well, let's get back into the conversation, Mike. Prior to going into break, we were really talking about some of the fundamentals of a reverse mortgage and why someone should consider it. Let's go back to the fundamentals for a second here. What are kind of the basics? Age requirement? Is there an equity requirement in your home? These kinds of things. Just the very basics.
Okay. So the very basic age requirement is that on the FHA mortgage, you need to be 62 or older. On the jumbo proprietary loan, that drops down to 60. So they give you a couple more years to consider getting the reverse mortgage as well. I will say that the proprietary jumbo loan is guidelines are almost identical to the FHA ones, too, except the interest, that's all I'm going to say, so you need to talk to me about the interest rate, and the closing costs are lower on the jumbo, and the loan amount possibly could be higher. So the maximum loan amount available on the jumbo is $4 million. And at this time, last time I did a jumbo that got that much, it came in for $7.5 million. So the loan-to-value on a reverse mortgage is considerably less than it would be on a regular mortgage, too. But nevertheless, the jumbo is something that is highly utilized in this area because of the high home values as well. So the other aspects of the jumbo reverse mortgage is that in this state, the money is available only as a lump sum distribution at closing.
Hmm.
Unlike a FHA reverse mortgage where you have the option of having a line of credit and a monthly check as well as a lump sum distribution, with a jumbo reverse mortgage, you only can utilize the lump sum distribution. The state does not authorize the line of credit or monthly check at this point.
Okay. Any other details of just sort of some basics that should be talked about?
Well, we also do condos, which is interesting, on the FHA loan. But, of course, a condo has to be FHA approved already. So there are there's another hurdle to get over with a condo. We can do fourplexes and duplexes, but one of the units has to be occupied by the borrower, too. Reverse mortgages are not available for rental homes or second homes. They're always for the primary residence of the borrower.
The important thing is you get to stay in your home then. You
right.
can tap some of that equity without losing ownership of the home.
Right.
And to learn more and get all the details, I'd suggest please just pick up the phone and call Mike. Super, super great guy, and as I said earlier, approachable for sure. 425-698-9889 is his number, 425-698-9889. You strike me as someone who's been around in this area quite a while.
I moved here from Spokane in 1983.
Okay.
So
and you're legitimate.
Yeah, I like it here. I like Spokane, but I like it here more as well. My kids are growing up here. My wife and I are living in the same home we bought many, many years ago, too. Oftentimes, customers will say, well, I live up in Port Angeles or Bellingham. Can you see me there? And the answer is yes.
Okay.
Actually, I'm not restricted to the King County area. I am licensed in the state, and I do loans throughout the state. And a lot of times I'll even drive there, too. That's no problem at all. And if you live in the San Juan Islands, please call.
Call right away.
I love going up there. My wife and I head up there on the boat and stay usually overnight and then come back. So no problem whatsoever. I have a unique one that I just got the other day. It's a log home, and log homes are difficult to do in regular mortgages, and they're just as difficult to do in reverse mortgages, too. But we'll consider all types of properties, but generally reverses are for single-family residences, and then sometimes we get into condos as well, too.
Got it.
So what I would encourage the listener to do is, if you have any questions about reverses or reservations, too, or doubts, just give me a call, and we'll talk about it. I'll tell you whether what your conceptions are, whether they're true or not, and we'll get you over that hurdle first.
There you go, and avoid the phone tree. Just dial a cell. That's pretty simple, 425-698-9889. That's 425-698-9889. If you have a bunch of questions or just want a little more detail or just love to converse via email, you can go that route, too. It's mike.broderick, B-R-O-D-E-R-I-C-K. At Homebridge, altogether, homebridge.com, and get the conversation started. The nice thing about working with a company like Homebridge, I would imagine, is you might be talking to somebody and they refer you to someone else who's really not right for a reverse mortgage, but maybe they need some mortgage help on other things, and you can refer to a great company like Homebridge.
Exactly. Homebridge does many loans. Reverses is just one aspect of what we offer, but they're predominantly a forward mortgage lender. And they've been around for quite a while. And so if we can't do the reverse mortgage and I don't do the other types of loans anymore, I can certainly refer you to somebody within our company.
Great. Great. So there you go. Just go ahead and call that cell number. Let's get back to the conversation, though, specifically about reverse mortgages. I know that a lot of people have the misconception that, my mother, my father, they want to remain in their home. They go ahead and get a reverse mortgage, but then that home's gone forever. I mean, the bank now owns it. That's not true.
That is correct. It is not true. And it was one of the first questions I get all the time. So nobody wants to give up their home upon the expiration of the loan. And the reverse mortgage, you don't do that either. Remember, this is a mortgage, like a forward mortgage. Mm. And so the borrower retains ownership of the home. I can't emphasize that more than once, that the borrower is the owner of the home. The lender is a lien holder, just like they would be on a forward reverse mortgage. The reverse mortgage can be paid off at any time the borrower wants. They can pay it off and move to a new home. All they do is pay off the mortgage balance. If both the borrower and the co-borrower die and leave the home as part of their estate, then the executor of the estate is responsible to clean up the finances, one of which is to pay off the reverse mortgage. So the reverse mortgage is kind of unique in that it has mortgage insurance, which will help pay off the mortgage balance if the home does not sell for enough to pay off the mortgage balance. Let's say we get into another recession, and I did a mortgage on a home that was worth $1 million, and then in the depths of the recession, the loan needed to be paid off, and the home was worth only $750. But let's say they had a balance on their mortgage that was higher than $750. A reverse mortgage has this mortgage insurance, which will help pay off the mortgage balance in the event that the home does not sell for enough to pay off the mortgage balance.
That's interesting.
It's called a non-recourse loan. It's a unique type of loan, too, in which the only assets, the only sums of money that are used to pay off the reverse mortgage is the real estate that the mortgage is placed upon. So in this case, the lien is on the home. If the home sells for more than the mortgage balance, then the estate keeps the difference because, again, the lender just gets paid off whatever the mortgage balance is at that time. If the home sells for less than what is owed on the mortgage balance, then the mortgage insurance will pay the difference to the lender.
That's wonderful. That's great peace of mind.
Right, it does. For the parents, it's you're not burdening your kids with a bill that they have to pay, which is, again, never necessary because this is not the kid's debt. It's the parent's debt.
Correct.
Right.
And we talked a little bit about this at the beginning, how, you know, you work all these years, particularly if you're in your home a long time, you put just a ton of love and hard work into it, and hopefully the equity's gone up, but you want to now remain there for all the memories, and you want to have grandkids, let's say, come over and have the holidays and that whole thing, and you want it to be in a familiar area. More and more people are looking at home health care, for instance. Your home can even be modified. That's a whole industry to make it more usable as we all get older. This, to me, would seem like a wonderful option to help pay those expenses, but also stay in your home.
That is very true. So a reverse mortgage is used predominantly to pay off the existing mortgage so that the customer doesn't have to make the monthly mortgage payment anymore. Secondly, it's used to make repairs on the home, too. You can utilize this money any way you want, really. There's no restrictions on how the reverse mortgage can be used. So oftentimes, customers will take out a reverse mortgage and set up a line of credit to be used later on to help pay for in-home care. So they'll let that line of credit grow over time, and then when they start tapping into it, they'll find out that it's a little larger than it was when they first started out. And a lot of customers will utilize it to pay for the in-home care that they have rather than move out to a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
So a reverse mortgage is used to stay in the home. And this is a good utilization of that equity that you've built up over the years.
Wonderful. Great way to end the show. I can't believe it. We're already at the end of this today's episode of Your Home, Your Wealth. We'll definitely have you back, Mike, because there's lots of more information. And, thank you. Really appreciate all your expertise and coming into the studio here. So stay tuned to Kixie 880, and you can find this podcast where you find all the podcasts you love. Maybe share it with a friend or relative who's thinking about doing something like this and just needs some information. The bottom line, too, is just pick up your cell phone and dial 425-698-9889. That's 425-698-9889, and speak directly with Mike. Mike, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you, Eric. I enjoy it.
Appreciate you. Appreciate Homebridge. And again, phone number 425-698-9889. Thanks for listening to Your Home, Your Wealth, where reverse mortgages, you can use the power of the home, the value you have in that home, to get you the life you want. We'll be back with another episode real soon here on Kixie 880.
NMLS number 696780 is a reverse mortgage loan originator with Homebridge Financial Services. NMLS number 6521, an equal opportunity lender. Washington Consumer Loan Company license CL6521. Terms and conditions apply.
NBC News Radio, I'm Michael Kastner. Queen Elizabeth is now lying in state at Westminster Hall after a procession from Buckingham Palace. The service was held in her honor with members of the royal family in attendance, including King Charles. Massive crowds have already descended on London for the Queen's lying in state. Officials say mourners looking to pay their respects face a potentially 10-mile-long line. Before the procession, President Biden spoke to King Charles. On the call, he offered his condolences on the death of the king's mother. Senate lawmakers will question top U.S. health officials today on the federal response to the monkeypox outbreak. Mark Mayfield with more.
The heads of the CDC, FDA, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and the Health and Human Services Department's Preparedness Office are all going before the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. The U.S. has seen more than 20,000 cases of monkeypox and ordered millions of vaccines, but the rollout has been slow.
Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers.
Welcome to another episode of Team Donny Co., Helping Pets and Their People. I am Marilyn Milano, your host today. And as I always like to mention, especially for people who might be new to the show, one of the things that best describes the wonderful work Donny Co. is doing, which is helping pets and their people, is to just think for a moment about the time that you might have noticed someone on the street that looked down on their luck and they had a pet with them. Did you ever think to yourself, what happens if their pet gets sick? They don't look like they can even manage, their own care. And that's certainly something
that all of us with the heart think about. And so the beauty of what Donny Coe has been doing for many years, and they're expanding, and we're going to talk about what they've been doing that's new and how it's helping more pets and more people, but they help the pets of low-income and unhoused families, and they provide medical care, and now they've been doing some help for the people as well. So it's just making things in our community better, showing compassion, and helping those that might not otherwise get help. If you'd like to write down their website so you can learn more, and especially so you can make notes as we're talking with our guests today, just write down donnycoe.org, D-O-N-E-Y-C-O-E.org. Coming up on our show today, we have Laura Cranhagen, a DVM, so that's a veterinarian. And then we have Jenna O'Connor, LVT, which is Licensed Veterinary Technician. And we'll be talking about a number of issues, their involvement with Donny Coe, and what's going on and what's coming up. So do stay tuned. We'll be back with our two guests. And wait until we start talking about all the wonderful things that are happening. You will be so pleased to hear. I'm Marilyn Milano, your host today of Team Donny Coe, helping pets and their people.
Donny Coe Pet Clinic provides comprehensive care for the animals of people in need. Funded by donations and powered by volunteers, Donny Coe Pet Clinic keeps overhead to a minimum to ensure healing is at a maximum.
Hi, this is Marty. Please help Team Donny Coe make a difference in the lives of pets and their people. Volunteer or donate today. Donny Coe Pet Clinic. Log on to donnycoe.org. That's DonnyCoe.org.
Welcome back to Team Donny Coe, helping pets and their people. I'm your host, Marilyn Milano. And we have a hello and a thank you from Marty Casey, president of the board of directors. She is not a guest on the show today, but she's always here with us in spirit. And we have two amazing guests, Dr. Laura Cranhagen and Jana O'Connor. Dr. Cranhagen is a veterinarian. Jana is a licensed veterinary technician. And we're just going to talk a little bit about some of the positive changes that have been happening, what is going on with Donny Coe, what people can expect. So first of all, thank you so much, both of you, for being here. I'm so glad you could join us.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great. So one of the questions that I'm sure people wonder about, because they've been hearing about how the new clinic is providing so much more care and so many more opportunities, what are some of the procedures that you've been doing that couldn't be done before? The kind of care, medication, equipment, that sort of thing. And you can both feel free to give your input on this. I'm sure that there is a lot that is happening that was not happening before the new clinic started operating.
Yeah, I'll start. This is Dr. Cranhagen. Yeah, there's so much more that we can do now. And, you know, we used to have just two clinics a month, and we now have 10, and we're now in a permanent home where we have the ability to take x-rays, to do ultrasounds, to do surgery and dentistry when needed. But not only that, being present in a clinic a couple times a week allows us to do follow-up care that we couldn't do before. So that allows us to practice a much higher level of medicine when we see a patient, and we can say, hey, I want you to come back tomorrow so we can recheck, or we're going to do some lab work and I'll be able to get those results to you tomorrow, and you can come up and pick up the medication right away. So we just have a much better continuity of care and a much higher level of ability to practice good medicine.
Oh, yes, and having been through things with pets, even if I went to an emergency room with an animal, sometimes they don't have x-ray machines there or some of the ultrasound or some of the things that might be needed, and it is so important for the peace of mind as well as saving the animal's lives to be able to do diagnostics quickly and get answers quickly, and I'm sure it provides much better peace of mind for the pet parents.
Yes, definitely, and I think what I've noticed is, you know, sometimes we'd see clients once and maybe not again for several years. And in our current setting, we're seeing them coming back for rechecks, having dialogues with them, developing relationships with them. So that will provide us with the ability to educate about preventive health and just have a better client-doctor relationship.
There's just so much more continuity, so much more ability to follow through, to keep tabs on how the patient is doing. It must be very heartwarming and encouraging to see that.
I think, yeah, the continuity is pretty amazing. Just that is something that doing only two clinics a month, that was really hard to follow up on. And you would see a patient at a clinic and then kind of wonder for the next couple weeks how they were doing. And being able to contact people, we are able to talk to our clients through email. Mostly everybody has email. So they're able to reach out to us in the same way that we're able to reach out to them just to check in and see how things are going. And so getting those updates of the pets improving or not, I think is really valuable.
Oh, yeah. What are some of the biggest changes you've noticed since this new model has been started? I mean, are there things that just really stand out?
I think just the being able to track and follow patients as far as the medications they're getting. We have so many animals on chronic medications, heart medications, things like that. You really want to keep an eye on the patient on a regular basis to make sure that the meds are working and that nothing else is coming up. And just the fact that we're able to have people, you know, show up for a visit pretty, you know, kind of planned, saying, hey, come in sometime this week, and we're able to see them and check in on those patients. It's just amazing to see. I think they're getting much better care, even though previously having just the two clinics, they're still getting more care than they would have.
Yes.
This is just building on it and even better.
Oh, I mean, I think it's wonderful. I wish I had this in every city in the country, but it's so great that you guys are here and doing this. Now, what do you think makes DonyCo unique among other animal welfare organizations? I know there are a lot of groups that provide varying levels of care. They do well. They care about the animals. What do you think really makes DonyCo stand out?
Well, I think, you know, that we do have our own physical building now, that we have and that we're centrally located right in downtown. You know, we have a shelter above us. We have the YWCA and Mary's Place nearby, and those residents are just so excited to have us in the community. And they're starting to recognize us and know our names. So that's been really fun. The other thing that I don't know if it's been talked on this show previously or not, but Neighbor Care is now starting to provide human health care services as well. So while I'm seeing the pet owner can be seen for their own medical needs. And that just started, but boy, the clients really seem to receive that well and seem to be really excited about having their medical needs, you know, looked at as well.
I know. I mean, you know, people with pets, regardless of our station in life, I mean, they're a family. And when they're in distress or they need help, that's what we want to do more than anything, is provide that help to them. And how wonderful now that DonyCo is playing a huge part of that help. And yes, we did talk a little bit on previous shows about neighbor care, so that now if a pet parent is not doing well, there is assistance there as well, because if pet parents aren't doing well, sometimes they can't be of help to their pets the way they normally could be. So again, there's information about all of these things on the DonyCo website, which is DonyCoe.org. And of course, if anybody who is moved by this, who wants to volunteer or make a donation, I mean, there's information there. You can reach out, contact the folks at DonyCo. But if this moves your heart and if this makes you feel good, why not be a part of it at whatever level you can? So, it's a big opportunity. It's a huge responsibility. But I think, like you're saying, as pet parents become aware, and then as the word spreads, I think that just more and more people are going to want to be a part of this.
Well, yeah, that's our hope, definitely. With providing this higher level of care, you know, it costs more. And we have rent to pay now, and, you know, we're just so excited to be able to do this. But the expenses for veterinary care continue to rise, and the need continues to rise as well.
Yes, just as an average everyday citizen, I know that pet care prices have gone up. I have friends that are not unhoused, and they're not super low income, but the price of pet care has become sometimes a burden. And so great that there is help for people. So great. Like I said, I wish this were in every city in the country. And maybe at some point it will be. This is a wonderful model. So now I'm curious, have you had any big surprises since the changes?
Nothing. We've been setting up and taking down clinic for as long as we've been in operation. And I think the biggest surprise for me was that first day where we finished our first clinic in that permanent location. And we just kind of looked at each other and said, you mean we can just leave? We can leave our stuff here and it's going to be here when we get back. And that was just an amazing feeling.
That must feel wonderful. This is kind of silly, but I liken it to when I go play a piano gig somewhere and there's a piano there, or I've had to haul my equipment. And, boy, it makes a huge difference to be able to just get up and leave the piano. And with medical equipment and just all of the things that go into creating a clinic and medications and, you know, just if you're using a temporary space, there is a lot more time involved. And now the feeling of getting settled in, of having a permanent space, of knowing where things are, of knowing that you're there to stay, it must be fantastic for all of you and even for those that are coming in to use your services.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Janice.
Oh, no, I was going to say the wear and tear on some of the equipment and stuff that we use as well, not having to get packed up in a bin and into a truck and driven around and then unpacked and pulled out of the bin, you know, a couple times a month. I feel like the quality of our equipment is just going to stay at a much higher level just because it's not going to have to go through that over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It's going to save money in the long term. It's going to, like you said, save equipment. And, anytime you have to pack and haul things in and out, there is going to be some wear and tear. Some things may break. So, again, any way to save money and keep things operational, all of that is good. Now, we touched a little bit on, you know, what you think the clients think about the changes, which is that they're very happy to see more clinics, 10 clinics a month now rather than what used to be 2 clinics. At this point, are you feeling that you can see everybody that needs to be seen, or is there still a need for more help?
There's definitely still a need.
Wow.
We do the best we can every clinic. Thankfully, if we don't get to everybody, we can say, we'll be here tomorrow, come back tomorrow, or we'll be here on Saturday. There's no doubt in my mind that if we were open more, we would fill every spot.
24/7, 7 days a week.
That would be a big leap.
It's sort of like the bigger the purse you get, the more stuff you seem to acquire to fill up. And I think with something like this, the more people are available, the more people come out of the woodwork and they're like, wow, now maybe there's an opportunity to see me. But this is just such a huge improvement. And I have no doubt that just with the way this is growing and the support that you're getting, that at some point there will even be more clinics. And again, you're not there every 2 weeks. You're there every few days. And so if there's a day where you can't see someone, they know they can come back in a couple of days and get some help. What happens in the case of, like, you got a full docket, you've got a full day, there are a lot of pets coming in, and then there's, like, a life-threatening situation or an emergency. Do you refer them out to, like, an emergency clinic, or are you able to help those? You make space for them, or how does that work, just for the, you know, information for our folks that are listening out there?
We usually have a line of people kind of waiting to be seen. If we know there's something that's really life-threatening or sick, we would, you know, kind of bump them to the front of the line to get seen more quickly.
Yeah.
Typically, thankfully, we haven't had this situation come up too often yet. We would do whatever we can in clinic to stabilize them, you know, maybe, you know, run some tests to give them some fluids. But then, yeah, if the care that's required is beyond what we can supply at the clinic, then we would find a place to send them.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Well, again, I know that with DonyCo, the priority is the care and health of the animals and, of course, their people if there's a situation there as well. So I know that when this clinic was set up, that there were some donations of equipment. There was a lot of great equipment that was donated and so forth. But I understand there are still some
things that need to be purchased, because there always are ongoing expenses with anything like this. So what has been and what will be necessary to operate at a high-quality level, since income is not a barrier? I mean, it's wonderful not to have to say no to someone because they don't, you know, they can't afford $8,000 on a given day or something. But what's needed right now? What would you want to tell our listeners?
I think we need a couple surgery monitoring pieces of equipment. We need a second multi-parameter monitor to monitor our patients that are under anesthesia, and along with that, a Doppler blood pressure unit. So those are a couple things that I know would be great to have, but we've been doing okay without them, but that would just make everything even better.
And so there may be people listening that are in the field that might say, gee, you know, maybe I can get access to that and donate it. But if not, anyone can go to the site and make a donation and say, you know, we want to help with equipment, right? I mean, and whether it's $5 or $500 or $5,000, it's all going to be helpful. One of the things I try to let people know is don't feel embarrassed if your donation is small. They all add up. They're all important. I know many pet rescue groups that really survive on $5 a month donations from their people. So what do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, any amount helps, you know, and it's not, yeah, the big piece of equipment we need is this anesthesia monitoring. But also with increased clinic hours and seeing so many more patients, we are dispensing a lot more medications. We're giving a lot more vaccines. We're offering microchips now. So just keeping our inventory stocked is a much higher expense than we've had in the past as well.
Of course, of course. So, I mean, you know, with great change and opportunity comes also great responsibility and sometimes great bills. And so that's important to remember. DonyCo has expanded. There are so many more services. So many more animals are being helped and their people are being helped. But there is a need. It's an ongoing need. And vet costs have risen because the cost of everything has risen. And so, I know that the DonyCo donors have been very generous. Just so many people have contributed to the cause. How can our listeners help you otherwise? Do you need volunteers? Are donations more important? What's really top of mind and top of, you know, priority right now?
Well, I think we could definitely use more volunteers that have experience in the veterinary space,
okay.
Veterinarians, assistants, so that, you know, we can, you know, eventually be open for more hours. We just need more people for that to happen.
Right.
You know, Jana and I both have jobs at a traditional vet clinic as well. And a lot of veterinarians and veterinary assistants are, you know, COVID was hard and they're burnt out. And, but I can just say that I leave every clinic just feeling like I really helped people and their pets that day. And it does renew my my love for veterinary medicine every time I work at the Donny Clinic. So anyone who has experience in the veterinary field and wants to jump in and join us would definitely be welcomed.
Yeah, and it could be just a few hours a week, right?
Absolutely.
You know, I think that's so important. And what you say is so right. When we are helping others with causes we care about, and we're doing good out in the world in our circle, you know, again, with the causes we care about, it's very healing. It's very uplifting to our souls. There's just something wonderful about making a tangible, measurable difference and seeing the happiness and the relief on people's faces because their pets have been helped. So, yes, if anybody is thinking right now, you know, gee, I could spare 3 or 4 hours a week, go to the website, check it out, donyco.org, DonyCo.org, and reach out and ask questions and find out if this might be a fit for you. And again, you know, if you're not a person with veterinary experience, but you can make a donation of any size, that's just going to help with the equipment, with the medications. Again, costs on everything are going up. And we want to be able to meet those costs and meet those needs. So we've just got another couple of minutes. Dr. Cranhagen and Jana, any last thoughts for our listeners and for the DonyCo supporters before we wrap things up?
I think Laura said it very well with the, you know, people in the veterinary industry are exhausted after the last 2 years, and the idea of working more maybe doesn't sound like it's enticing, but it's so different.